Hey guys, it's Painkiller Already, episode 14. It's your boy Wings of Redemption. And for always, we had a nice letdown this week. We could not get a veteran for our podcast. So we had to go with the second best thing. We had to get a veteran of Call of Duty. Who do we have with us today?
Ex-Socrates.
So great.
Ex-Socrates.
The best player on YouTube.
Still crates.
Oh, man.
All right.
I just barely woke up in time for this thing. I'm not going to lie.
Dude, we all did. I woke up. My alarm clock went off when I was sitting down at the computer.
See, I used my cell phone as my alarm clock, and I remember at about 8 p.m. Hearing my cell phone die. It makes this noise when it dies. And not caring. I just roll over. So, like, I woke up, and it was one of those deals like, oh, God, podcast. And I just, like, turned my computer on, and I just knew it was going to be, like, midnight or something, but luckily it was like 9:45. I was like, all right, good deal. Woody's not going to be mad at me.
Week after week, people yell at me, and some of them curse me out because my microphone's not loud enough. So this week it is cranked. Skype is sitting there telling me, turn your microphone volume down. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to sit here and rip all podcast long because everyone tells me I'm too quiet. We'll see if this fixes it.
I imagine that in the recording, you're just going to be like the voice of God screaming down upon us.
I'm tired of baby steps. Every week, I push it forward a little bit louder, and every week, someone's like, fuck you, Woody, get the fuck off the podcast, you're too quiet. I'm like, man, I'm trying so hard. You know, it's not nice to talk to me like that.
So we blocked those people, and we can talk about the blocks today.
Oh, yeah, we do need to talk about the blocks. This particular comment is on Podbean, not my YouTube channel. But yeah, I would have blocked him.
I'm trying to get it on the Huppet Gaming site right now. It's giving me a 403.
403? I don't even know that one. Let me see if it's up.
403, you're not authorized to view this resource. I'm just trying to sign into my freaking account.
Working for me. Maybe it's in the biz, we call that a PEBCAC error. It's problem exists between keyboard and chair.
Now, is that the porno business?
No. Here. Here's what I'm doing. I go, community login. My shit's all there.
Uh-huh.
Remember me. Login. 403 error.
Really? I'm going to try to duplicate this right here. Sorry, this is a horrible podcast. Hey, I have a topic. What would your game be like? What would your life be like without gaming? Like, you know, how is it's working for me, by the way. Well, you know, go through your day. How would things be changed for you if you weren't a gamer at all?
I wasn't a gamer at all. Well, let me start out. I'd probably be working a little bit above minimum wage job, hating my life, paying off a $100,000 school loan, and hating life in general.
All right. You have a 6-digit school loan?
Yeah. Well, it isn't 6 digits. It's like $80,000. I lived all on campus. And
holy smokes, man. That's hardcore. All right, Kyle. How would your life be different?
So this is what my life would. All right, I was gonna like ask, but you're gonna tell me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
How would your life be different without gaming? Go ahead, roll with it.
I'd probably do more shit. Like, I mean, I spend a lot of time. It's not just the gaming. It's not just the time I spend, like, you know, with a controller in my hand looking at the screen. But you know, the stuff that goes along with that, like, editing video and reading YouTube comments, which has to be the most retarded thing of all time, and just the whole thing that goes along with it, you know. I don't know. I'd be out more. I'd be doing outside things. But I don't. Everybody always acts like, you know, like going outside and like playing tag football is such a much more noble thing to do than sitting at home playing a game of Halo. Like what's the fucking difference? Like what, a little physical activity is like the most amazing thing ever? I'll hop on the treadmill for 10 minutes while my video uploads.
Yeah, there's a bias towards indoor stuff. If I didn't have gaming, I don't know what I'd be doing, but I'd probably just substitute, you know, my passion and desire to tinker with stuff with something else. You know, if I didn't have gaming, maybe I'd try and play guitar. Maybe I'd pick up a paintbrush. I don't know what I'd do exactly. Maybe I'd restore a car. But I don't think it would be anything really, you know, groundbreaking. I wouldn't be curing cancer. I'd just be tinkering with something else.
Yeah.
Socrates?
See,
I think I'd have to go with the along the lines of Kyle and doing more stuff kind of outside, like probably fishing and just kind of outdoorsy type stuff more.
See, I want to go back to this question again because I was just thinking about this in more in depth while you guys were answering. I don't know what the fuck I would be doing without gaming because I've been playing video games since like age 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all I've been good at since age 4. Like, when Super Mario Brothers was out, I was the motherfucking class saying, look here, you're a scrub. I destroyed Mario and I saved Peach. Well, they known as the princess back then. But that's always who I've been. I mean, it's always been a defining factor of me. Everybody knew I was the guy that was good at games. And I went around friends. That's how I made friends. Like, you know, like when high school came around, the way I made my friends was they would start talking about Mortal Kombat. I'm like, I'm really good at Mortal Kombat. Like, no, you're not. And put some money up. Like, yeah. Then I went over to their house and I whooped their ass with some Kung Lao, almost some Mortal Kombat 2. All of a sudden, I'm in the group. I don't know. Gaming's been a defining part of my life. I mean, I guess you say it, everybody's a bias about doing things outside. You, believe it or not, I can work on a car. You know?
You know, I bet there's some people out there listening saying, like, oh, gaming's a big part of Wings' life. Wings is, you know, a terrible, horrible, evil person for that being the case. But if you have built your sense of self-worth or identity around being on the track team or around, you know, being the best football player in your high school, you'd probably be... They look at it a whole lot differently. They act as if you're some sort of star and, you know, role model because your passion lied in basketball instead of games. But is it so different?
Yeah, I'm just saying, but, like, I'm a pretty good breeder of chickens. I can work on cars. I'm a very good shot. I mean, I'm a real good shot. You don't want to be in front of a gun barrel against me.
You told me you're a good shot, but you're talking about a rifle, not a pistol.
I'm talking about a rifle. My pistol's horrible. I never could deal with the pistol over than, like, you know, 20 yards because it's just the error ratio and my hands shake a little bit.
Yeah, I'm nothing special with either a rifle or a pistol, but you know, we're talking about human-sized targets, I'm good to go. You're talking about competitive stuff, I'm nothing special.
Yeah, I'm not the kind of guy that could put like 4 holes in a little square at like 30 yards and then while after running with my heart rate up. No, I'm not that guy.
Yeah,
I'm the guy with the fucking sandbags and sitting there got all day to line the shot up.
So wait, you said you're pretty good at working on cars. Shooting guns.
Me too.
Yeah, and the working on cars thing came from owning shitty cars. When I was young.
I know Woody picked up on the shooting, like, rifles and stuff, but how do you get into breeding chickens?
How did I let that one go? When you say you're good at breeding chickens...
We have to have a very small penis to start with.
What do you do to the chickens that makes you so good at it?
Actually, my stepfather, he would fight chickens when I was growing up, and he would breed them, and eventually I just went out there and started helping him, like, spar the chickens and so on and so forth, and I seen how much money he paid for the chickens. And
sparring a chicken? Is that fighting with them?
Yeah, basically you put these, you have talons when you fight chickens, and basically there's sparring talons, which are basically like little boxing gloves you put on the tail of the chicken. And you basically get two people, you grab them under their wings, and you sit there, let one peck at the other one's neck, and like pull, get him mad. And once he gets mad, they're ready to fight, and they're like, thing comes up, and you just keep pushing them together, then you throw them down, and then they start fighting. And then you basically do one over and over and over again until you find the alpha male of the group, and then you let him breed.
I was wondering where the sex came in, because so far no babies were made until the very end. I might be better at breeding chickens than Wings is, because at least I know there's a sex component involved.
You got to find the alpha male.
Okay.
You got to find the one that doesn't get tired, like he's not breathing hard after 3 or 4 fights. You know, you can't really put a chicken on a treadmill or like a dog, like make him drag bricks around the yard.
So... These chickens, are they mean to you, or like are they just they're not
vicious animals. That usually you got to get them riled up and mad at each other. Like it's in their blood to fight each other.
Uh huh.
And this, like, so how much money is involved in something like this? Like, do you guys go down and throw bets down and.
No, I just sell. I don't fight them. I just sell them. If you fight them.
So how much you charge for a good cock?
$10,000 to $20,000 a fight. how much I charge? Around $1,000 a chicken.
$1,000 for cock from Wings.
Wow.
Yeah. No, yeah. I charge to sell a chicken around $1,000.
Right.
But
that must be the best tasting chicken of all time, Wings. I don't know what to say.
you don't eat these chickens.
Melt in your mouth fried chicken. I know, but I would. I would be so. What if somebody bought a chicken from you and they were like, "This is going to be delicious." And you're like, "Oh no, this is a champion, Boston Pecker, fighting chicken." And you're like, "Yeah, I know. They're delicious." Would you still sell it to them?
Hey, money's there. We do not care. But if you guys are actually wanting to know what kind of chickens I sell, I sell what you call Seb Chin Cutters.
Gotcha.
Seb
Wait,
Chin
you
Cutters?
Still do it? Do you still do this?
Oh, yeah.
I still do this.
It's part of his income. He sells chickens for $1,000 a pop. Videos,
if you listen to Wings videos, sometimes you'll hear...
I have over 200 of them in the backyard.
There was one video where he had all these subscribers accusing him of watching rooster porn while he commentated his videos.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. Hey, I have a whole new topic. So, do you guys remember when I gave out a game plan for robbing banks?
I was putting that in my repertoire.
Oh man, so for people who didn't hear that podcast, here's the thing: I was reading about this guy. He goes to one of the same websites that I do, and he robbed a bank. And to shorten up the whole story, he was in jail for something else. And while in jail, he learned how to rob a bank. And one of the things he learned is that banks have this policy of just handing over the money when you give them a strongly worded note. And you don't have to have a gun. As a matter of fact, you don't want a gun because you don't need it. And it makes it a bigger deal if you get caught. If you have a gun or pretend to have had a gun, then it's a problem. So shortly after the podcast, this guy in Toronto robbed 4 banks in about an hour using the technique that I outlined on the podcast. So, yeah. Now, I don't want to say that listening to the podcast can make you big money, but there's some ideas here. We're idea people.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And he got away with it. They have his picture, so I don't know what kind of update there is on this thing. But, yeah, he successfully robbed 4 banks in an hour, and they don't know where he is.
Wow.
That's some hardcore planning, though. 4 banks, they had to be close to each other.
Had to be, right? I mean, I'd have a hard time visiting 4 banks in an hour, let alone walking away with the money.
Let me just say this. To whoever you are, sir, if you are indeed a listener of the podcast and you've robbed 4 banks, you owe us a small cut of your money. So you need to get in touch with one of us and give us our... are we managers or agents? Because a manager gets 15%, an agent gets 10%, right?
I've been watching The Sopranos, I think we're associates.
All right, we're associates, so that's at least 7.5%.
There's also another word there, sort of, if where you guys say it's called accessories.
Oh, no, we're not that.
We're not accessories.
No, that's not what we are.
Law enforcement that listens to the podcast.
Hey, so a subscriber asked me to bring up this topic, and I think I'm going to ask Kyle to go first. Are fleshlights a good idea?
Oh my God. That's disgusting.
What is a fleshlight?
Fleshlight.
Explain what a fleshlight is to Wings, and I'll prepare my response.
Oh, I have to cover this? So it's about the size of a flashlight, but instead of shining a beam of light...
I'm looking at it. You're Googling it?
He's Googling it.
So we don't have to go through the awkward situation of Woody explaining what a fleshlight is.
For the listeners, it's flashlight-sized. There's a hole in it. And it's used as a masturbation tool.
Basically a foofy.
A foofy? Do you have some level of expertise in masturbation tools that I don't?
No, but I've hung around some people that's been up in juvenile delinquent home. And basically, it's not co-ed up in them bitches. And people would create these foofies, which they'd use a towel and they'd use soap. And you'd basically take a... You basically wrap your penis with like a latex glove, and you take a towel and you tight wrap it you line it with like soap, like bowel soap, like the bottle, and use that to masturbate with, and then it's supposed to mimic like a pussy. And I'm looking at it saying it looks like a foofy. It doesn't look comfortable at all.
So it took us about 10 minutes to earn our explicit rating this time. I think this might be quicker than the sex worker show.
I don't know. Here's what I'm going to say. How much do those things cost? Because I'm guessing $75.
I'm guessing it looks very plasticky, and doesn't look very forgiving.
I don't know how much they cost, but I bet they're more than... It's like a non-trivial amount of money. I think it's like $50 and higher.
Yeah, it's probably like $50 to $100, I would say. And I bet, like there's probably different models. There's probably like the magic flashlight.
Yeah, I'm looking. They got the different pussy models here. They got the Asian pussy, the fat pussy, the skinny pussy.
No,
there are various vagina.
They got the mouth one.
Flashlights. The mouth one. That's great. Okay, just stop there. Please. They have like, old flashlight. They have that one.
Like, they got an asshole one.
Oh God!
Can we let Kyle finish his thought? I think you're distracting him with thoughts of plastic rear ends.
Yeah, I don't need this. Take the money that you're going to spend on that pathetic piece of plastic and take a girl out to Outback Steakhouse. Get her a Bloomin' Onion and a Outback Steakhouse now.
You and your Outback Steakhouse.
Dude, I love Outback.
That was self-distracting.
You guys
want to
get on my good side and be my friend forever, send me an Outback Steakhouse gift card. That is some good shit.
You know, when I put this shit in, they got, like, girls, you know, like jerking guys off with this motherfucker on the pitch.
Yeah, like, that would ever happen.
I'm like, dude, seriously, we're already in this situation. Why do you have the flashlight on? This shit looks like a fucking ice cream cone thing. Just huge.
So,
you gotta have Paul Bunyan's dick to get in this motherfucker.
Whoa.
What, you don't got that? No, here's my thoughts on this thing,
right?
It looks
small to me.
Well, it may not be for me. I'm not comfortable with this, like, world's prejudice against masturbatory devices for guys while there's encouragement on the girl side. It doesn't seem fair.
Here's the vampire fleshlight.
Oh, man. It doesn't seem right. You know, like, if girls want to employ tools into this thing, it's kind of hot and they're open-minded. If guys want to employ tools, then they're, what, the biggest losers to walk the earth? It doesn't seem fair.
Oh no! Here's the anime Sailor Moon fleshlight.
So when
Wings,
I talk,
stop looking at fleshlights.
Am I on Wings? Is oh my gosh! Like, part of me thinks, what am I, a mute? Another part of me thinks he's in a trance. I've introduced Wings to the fleshlight, and he cannot think about anything else.
He's
100% distracted. He's sitting there waiting for an opportunity to tell us about the werewolf fleshlight he just found, or whatever it is.
He's like, look, it's the Count Chocula fleshlight.
I know. I mean, it's unique how many different fucking fleshlights there are. They have the fleshlight that goes in your car. It's like
a console built-in fleshlight. He actually did it. It's funny. We're teasing him about being unable to focus on the conversation, about being totally distracted and absorbed into this fleshlight topic. He's in his browser. He's looking at me. He's browsing.
I've never heard of this thing.
His
and
favorite
got
fleshlight.
All these different ideas.
And we like tell stories, say funny jokes, and he's like, whoa, vampire fleshlight. he's all over it.
All right, but here's the difference, I think, between women, I'm trying to think how to phrase this, but I'm just going to go super coarse with it. Women wanting a dildo and men wanting that thing. Women need sex toys because, and a lot of times, you know, they need them. If you're a guy and you're having a hard time getting yourself off, like, I mean, it may be a medical problem. I mean, we're about as simple to operate as anything can be. I mean, in the bedroom, a guy is like two-dimensional. A woman is can be very difficult to get off, but that's so. I mean, them needing a sex toy is completely understandable, I think.
No good doctor roof on her ass. Don't worry about getting yourself off after you please the man.
That's good advice.
I don't know what that
was. You don't know Dr. Ruth? Maybe you're too young.
Oh God, yeah. Dude, I've seen her on TV before. I always change the channel because it makes me feel dirty.
You've never seen her on TV, Kyle? Come on, you're not that damn old.
I've seen her on TV. I'm 24. Like, she's been on TV in the last 5 or 6 years, I guess.
Old Jewish lady telling how to suck a dick.
Oh, explicit, boys and
pay
girls.
Attention to every form and every word.
Step one, take your teeth out.
Oh, God. I don't like where this is going.
I need to use baking soda to help clean them while you're doing your
injuries here pretty soon. Let's just move this along.
All right. I've got another topic.
We forgot to hear Socrates' opinion on the fleshlight.
All right, Wings. Calling out the guest. Sock?
I think, Woody, you did have a good point with the bias between male and female, but I think Kyle does, his point is greater that, I mean, guys don't really need it. I mean, when it comes down to it, you don't.
Everybody, crunk skunk, give him a hand.
What?
I'm just playing with you.
I don't know why I'm associating crunk skunk with fleshlights now, but I am. They came out of the blue. That's not right. Anyway, I stand by my point that they should cut guys some slack. Have you been seeing all the fuss about Activision and the rumors that there'll be a monthly fee for Black Ops?
Bring it on.
I'm good for it. Let's do it.
Really? So they wrote out.
Implement it now.
So I didn't see it myself, but I'm told that they tweeted that there's not going to be a monthly fee for Black Ops. But they definitely, who's the guy, Bobby Kotick? Kotick, something like that? Kotex? I don't know. The CEO there, he says, he's been talking a lot about how he wishes that he was part of the monthly fee on the Xbox side. He feels like half of the people that are paying Microsoft monthly only do it because of his games. And I guess game sales are down, and part of it is because they're so replayable, and that's got to be true, right? I mean, if a game like Call of Duty was mostly its single-player campaign, I'd play that thing two or three times and then buy another game. Like, that would be what I do. But because of the multiplayer, you know, you get, you know, a good game is really cheap in terms of, you know, how much you pay per hour of playtime. And I know everyone on here has gotten their money out of Modern Warfare 2 and COD 4. And
I can't stand those faggots that be putting shit on my video like, I paid $60. Dude, you paid $60 for the game like a year ago. You're paying pennies on the fucking hour now.
Yeah, yeah. Like Bioshock's a game I really enjoyed. But in terms of like how much game time I got out of it for my $60, it was pretty low. The multiplayer, I didn't like it that much. And the single player I enjoyed, but, you know, I played it once. So it's expensive compared to Modern Warfare, where I bought all the DLC and still paid a lot less per hour.
Yeah, I think we're getting to a point where like single player games either need to lower the price tag to $40, or multiplayer games are going to find some way to make more money off of us, because them being the same price really doesn't make any sense anymore.
It doesn't. That's a pretty good way of thinking about it. And so they say game sales are going down. Another problem is that game publishers used to have this nice like price decline. So a game came out, they'd sell it for $60. Some people would buy it. And then when it wasn't hot anymore, they could lower the price to $40. And then people that didn't want it, you know, on day one would say, maybe buy it at $40 and then $20. And they would have this, they'd be able to rejuvenate their sales by dropping the price over the game's life cycle. Now, you sell it for $60, you flood the market, and it's over. Everyone buys used after that. You know, GameStop has owned the rest of the game's life cycle, and they're harder to make a profit off of than they used to be. Now, of course, you know, Modern Warfare 2 is going to be a huge money winner. But take some of the less, like the secondary titles, and you know, like Left 4 Dead 2. I wonder how big a moneymaker that was. You know, because it doesn't, you know, people buy it used. It's a role like that.
I didn't even buy the game.
Yeah, you can't even get me to buy that game.
I like that game. It's
Game purchases are very slim. If it's not Fallout, Oblivion, if it's not from Bethesda, Activision, or Blizzard, I don't buy it.
Really?
Last game I bought outside of that circle was a Square Enix game, and that shit sucked. I even did a video on it. It's called Final Fantasy 13 Sucks Balls.
Well, you should look it up. You didn't add EA to your list, but I think they're on there too.
It's in the game. Oh yeah, EA. And that game sucked balls too.
Battlefield.
Yeah, it was cool when it first came out, but mm-hmm. I tried playing that the other day, and everybody's figured out everything. If you don't go in with a party that knows how to defend against map play and this and that, like, you can't even fly helicopters no more, because the way they've got the damn tracer dart set up, it's like laser-guided missiles now.
Dude, last time I was on there, I was darting the shit out of some helicopters, man. That's all I did.
I mean, helicopters are now pretty much worthless.
Modern Warfare went through the same evolution. Like, when the game came out, everyone was like, Harriers are wildly overpowered. They're terrible. Now, you know, they go down right away.
I still
not on PS3.
Wait. I do not want to talk about that again. Everybody hates it.
You see that 25-man chopper gunner I got on PS3 today?
Oh, guys. And, you know, there's another part of that, too, right? Some of the matchmaking has to do with your account. And this argument falls apart when we talk about Wings, I think, because his account's leveled up. But if you take, like, if I were to jump on Xbox with a brand new account tomorrow, I'd be matched up against a lot of new players. Whereas my Xbox account now, when I jump in there, everyone's like 5th prestige, 10th prestige. They're all ranked up. They've got time in the game, and they're,
I'm still going against new players.
Yeah, I've got a 9th prestige account now on PlayStation 3. Same thing.
But it's not free for all. It's not based on prestige, because I heard Robert Bowling talk about it. They do have some skill ranking, and I guess it could be score, time in game, kill death ratio. I don't know exactly how the skill ranking is calculated, but it's not your rank. And they match up good players against the other good players. And you know, when I play Call of Duty, no one's like not prestiged yet. Like, I hardly ever find a guy who hasn't hit level 70 yet in that game. But if I were to jump on a brand new account, I would. Or those rare times where I'm in a party with people who have brand new accounts, you see them. Like, they're out there because you get matched up with them. I just don't get them. So the point behind this whole thing is that we might be seeing weaker PS3 players, like Kyle might, compared to, say, Wings, whose his account is leveled up and legit.
Hey, let's go and reiterate that. 2-time legit.
Yeah.
I'm a sad motherfucker.
I always get matched up against extremely low players. Like, it never fails. It always happened in Call of Duty 4. I was a 10th prestige probably, like, I don't know, maybe 5 months after that game came out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I still get matched up. Well, obviously more so than
now. Just talk about a game we got into yesterday, all fucking Overgrown.
Oh, it was like an orange sunset. There was so much orange in the lobby, it was ridiculous.
I'm jealous.
Highest level was 6.
What?
It was.
Wow.
And they were all legitimately new players. I mean,
yeah, it wasn't like the guy that came back and made another account just to boost his stats. It was they just broke open the box and put the game in for the first time.
That's awful.
I saw
we ran a train that Ozzy Osbourne would be proud of.
I was watching a video, and it was on Mercaderka's channel, but it was actually his girlfriend playing. My gosh, I want to play against his girlfriend. She's awful. I saw her take her bullets and go around some guy like a rainbow. He was completely safe. And I was like, man, I need more of them in my lobbies.
Yeah. I like those kind of characters where the safest part to be on the map is in front of the gun.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, one of those guys, that level 6 guy, spawned behind me on like Downpour.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shooting somebody else, and there's literally like 5-6 seconds. He's sitting there trying to kill me with my back turned. I turn around and kill him.
Oh, hey, you know what? I don't know that we ever wrapped up the monthly fee thing. Like, sometimes I wonder, like, the monthly fee for guys like us who play the game so much that we get a value out of it, I wonder if it would make it better, right? If it really did bring great support, if they changed up the playlists every single weekend, if they fixed the bugs, you know, if they were right on top of it, Activision, they've been incredibly slow at fixing, the bugs in Modern Warfare. That's a problem. The rock glitch is still there. Come on, you know, patch it.
The foul still sucks.
Oh. If they pushed that stuff out, if they really fixed it, and, you know, Commando was reduced or nerfed, and One Man Army Pro was removed, then it might be worth a monthly fee. I don't know. But on the other hand, if everybody did it, that would destroy things. Like, I love being able to pop in Bad Company 2 if I want to, or Left 4 Dead 2, or all these things. If all these games had monthly fees, I wouldn't do it.
Well, you can't really justify Bad Company 2 to having a monthly fee because it doesn't exactly bring the fan base as a Call of Duty does.
Right.
And that brings me to the next point.
Oh.
When are these other first-person shooter games going to step up and actually go to 60 frames per second?
That's a good question. Yeah,
because that's the selling point to Call of Duty to me.
Yeah, and it's not just the fact that Call of Duty moves at 60 frames per second. It's that enables the whole pace of the game to go along a little quicker. You know how you guys walking in sand in Bad Company 2? It's because it's at 30 frames per second. You know, if that guy could do the same sort of spin, jump, crazy maneuvers that you could do in Modern Warfare 2, then you wouldn't be able to see what was going on. You'd be blind as your screen goes from west to north right away without the intermediate steps that you get at 60 frames per second. The reason that Modern Warfare 2 can be so snappy is that it has that refresh rate. And, it's a bummer that other current games aren't doing it. I like that it moves quick.
I played Halo last night, and it was like fucking slow motion. I was like, what is this? We're playing some Octagon.
Yep.
I miss it on the aiming aspect, because you could actually feel the frames when you're aiming. And you actually can feel the frames when you're dying. Like I play in Bad Company the other day because I'm trying to get back into it, but it pisses me off to like see me put so many bullets in somebody and then feel like I just get dominated. It's like boom, 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 boom. Like 2 seconds, I'm down. Which I know in my heart it isn't that way, but because I'm missing frames in my death animation, I would get in Call of Duty, if that makes sense.
And there'll be people out there. So like I don't act like some sort of elitist, but we play the game a lot, right? And everyone on this call here is competent at it. So there are people who will be like, dude, 30, 60, humans can't even tell a difference.
You look, oh my God.
We
can
are
tell the difference instantly.
We are finely trained cyber athletes here. And we can
gold medal Olympian champion gamers.
Yeah. And you know, if you were to play, say 5 hours a night daily, then you'd start picking up the difference between 60 and 30 frames. It'd be obvious to you.
Well, I can feel the difference on, like, just TVs. I had, like, a really old LCD screen that, the movements, there was a, like, noticeable difference between moving the sticks on the controller and how it appeared on the screen. So it, like, just wasn't adding up between my eyes and my hands and the TV screen. And I finally went out and got a nice TV, and that was just, it was just ridiculous how you can notice just literally the difference between, like, 1 and like 3 milliseconds.
Yeah. I have a my first big flat screen TV was a Vizio plasma. Now I don't know how the current Vizio plasmas are, like when you buy today, but mine is maybe 3 or 4 years old, and they're notorious for input lag. And when I put that thing on, the input lag and the motion blur drove me crazy. It was the only time that I've raged in from playing games in like, I don't know, 2 decades or something. Like I don't really throw things, but I did that night. It was terrible.
Oh man, I've been trying to wonder if I should upgrade to what Socrates has. He has like a 22-inch monitor. Mm-hmm. It's like 1 millisecond. Well, my current TV is at 5 milliseconds.
Some of those specs aren't all that reliable. You know, the manufacturers will claim they're better than they are, but there's websites out there that will show you like with like high speed cameras, you know, what this thing looks like and what the motion blur and the refresh rate really equates to, and I can help you pick one. But hey,
and this is a little off topic. Did anybody see my estate demo video?
Not yet.
Well, this faggot right here just called me "Wings You Fell" as a rusher. Stay camping. Seriously.
Make your mind up.
Yeah, that's just not fair.
No, I'm showing them how to get to the B bomb, you know, the A bomb on the state on demo, which is a fucking death trap.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's what it is.
That's shucks, it's one of the toughest bombs to plant in any map on demo. There's another one. The one on Quarry can be pretty tough too if they have it.
Demolition can be tough on Afghan if they're back there at B.
Yep, Afghan at B, Quarry, which is the one towards the center of the map? Is that A or B? Okay, yeah, so Quarry at B, Afghan at B, and Estate at A are just nightmares.
I mean,
I think Estate's the worst.
I take like 6 deaths, and I get like 15 kills, and I'm a fail rusher. I thought that was a good game. What about you? Yeah. That was a good round for me. 50
yeah, if
kills,
you can keep a 2.5 KD rushing into that damn death trap of a house, you've done a hell of a job.
Yeah, let's talk about standards on YouTube. Shit like this right here. This is why YouTube is failing right now. This guy right here, IWEB Guru. You are horrible.
You know, I'm surprised by what people like. I put up a vid somewhat recently, and it was me on Karachi, and I lose. And my KD's not wild or anything. It's like 32 and 15.
That's a good video. I watched that,
like
that.
Oh, did you like that one? When I put it up, I wasn't sure it would go well. You know, one, I lost. Two, I didn't have a 10 to 1 KD. But I uploaded it because I thought the only reason our team was in it at all was because of my contribution. I think maybe the team capped 7 flags all game, and I capped 6 of them. And, you know, defended a lot. And I was like, all right, it's hard to win sometimes. And
you did a good job, Eric, because I know what position that is. That's the position where it's easy to get frustrated and just want to just shut the game off because nobody on your team wants to help you out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I was trying to work with them. I'm communicating. I'm on the mic. I'm telling them what I'm doing and you know, ask them to do something. I was like, all right, we've got B. I'm going to take C. You guys hold B. I'm fine here. Stuff like that. And it was way too late before they started helping me out.
Point in case, I was playing Bad Company today.
Mm-hmm.
And I play Bad Company. I send a bulletin out. I'm like, I need 3 players for some rush on Bad Company because I hate playing without a squad on Bad Company.
Mm-hmm.
I get these guys here. I'm like, guys, all right, let's try to get some communication going. I couldn't get these guys to talk. All they wanted to do was ask stupid ass questions about, you know, YouTube, how'd you get started, and all this bullshit. And Laguna Pressa comes up. And Laguna Pressa's got a glitch in it where the bombs don't make siren noises when they go off, they just start blinking. I don't know if you guys ever played it.
No.
I've played it, but not enough to pick that up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Not enough to know that.
We were on our last bomb site. We're getting trashed. I'm like, guys, if that bomb gets planted, let us know. Because I'm standing like right next to the bomb, you know, trying to defend them off. And these guys won't even tell me the bomb gets planted. Oh, the guy, two guys die. The bomb gets planted. I'm out of position. Things like this, communication, people.
Yeah, that's, you know what? That leads into another topic. I have a lot of subscribers who want to play. And a lot of times they're like, you know, I'm not asking for anything from you. I just want to game with you all night, all the time. And it's like, so I do pick up subs. It happens all the time, right? You know, we have 4 in a lobby. There's room for 2. I look at my Xbox messages and, you know, someone says they want to play with me and they're online at the moment. I send them an invite. And you know, I'm sure there's, whatever, half dozen people out there from this week.
I'm sure there's going to sprawl out about 200 messages for Woody.
I know. I don't even care. I don't even read my Xbox messages. I should talk about that later. But I do go through them when I need to fill out my lobby. But sometimes guys don't know. Like I have real friends, guys I've played with for months or for years that I enjoy playing with, and you're asking for their spot. So, like, it's not that you're not asking for anything. You know, you might be a really good guy, but you're new to me. And you're certainly new to calling out all the time and working together, and it's a risk. Oh, and then there's this self-imposed pressure of trying to do well. Like, you know, these guys have seen my videos. They might be fans of my work. And but, you know, try to understand. I don't pull, you know, 6-1, 10-1 KDs on average. You know, I've got my other games that weigh those out. Or I might be doing something risky. Like, maybe I'm trying to get my Sandy Ravage game. And I'm not Sandy Ravage. Sometimes it doesn't work out for me. And so it's awkward for me to play with new people. Because, like, if I play with Wings and go negative, he's not going to be like, yeah, Woody sucks. You know, I hate that guy. You know, he's going to be like, yeah, I know Woody. And he was probably doing something. But if I play with someone new, I feel like I have to be the super me.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's why I don't like playing with people. People are like, play with me, play with me. No, I don't want to. Because it's like, it's exactly what you just said. Because, you know, if I don't go super try-hard mode the whole time and bust out an average of 3-1 KD, I know somebody's going to be like, yeah, I knew he sucked. Yeah, that guy was bad.
Oh, man, I ran into a sniper lobby on COD 4. I guess that's what you call it.
Uh-huh.
The whole other team was sniping. And it got to the point where I just gave up and I quit the game. And first thing is like, I knew you weren't as good as you thought. I knew you weren't as good as you portray yourself. The bitch was 8-10, sitting in the back of Crossfire sniping, talking shit to me. I was 30 and 17.
Yeah, but his 8 quickscopes were fucking awesome. So, makes up for it.
Yeah, that's.
I just got tired of carrying my fucking team. That's what happened.
Right. I was on. I was in a Sandy Ravage lobby, and I had a bad night or a bad game or two. And let me say that if I go into a lobby with people I've never played with before, you know, just like a bunch of randoms, I typically do pretty well, and I lead a lot of lobbies. I won't say I lead everyone, but that spot on top, I'm looking for it. When I play with, you know, Sandy or Wings and Kyle and Onslaught and Socrates and all those guys, it's hard to do well. I sprint all game long and hardly find anybody. And if I do see anyone, they're in their death animation. And, like, the control the engagement, sit here behind, like, move from cover to cover to cover, like, slowly advancing and trapping them in their spawn. That crap doesn't work when Socrates is sprinting around, killing everyone with a death ray who happens to be in his field of vision. And it makes me try to do the same thing, and it's hard. So, anyway, I don't lead lobbies all that often when I play with beasts. It's tough to do.
One of the funniest things about Socrates that I've seen is, like, he'll be playing a team deathmatch, and he'll be going like 40 kills and like 8 deaths or something in a lobby where things aren't going well, where like his team's just getting slaughtered, and he'll randomly decide that his team doesn't deserve to win and leave so that they lose. he'll look around at his team, see how negative they are, and be like, you know what? You guys don't deserve to win. I'm not caring this time.
That's like, what's about that time you got 40, what was it, 49 to 51 kills and still lost?
It's that, to be honest with you, it's really sad, but that actually happens to me at least like maybe once a month. And I will leave games on like a weekly basis where I am like 42 and like 9 or something. And I look at my team and they're all like cowering in fear behind the bus on Bog or something. And it's like, I just look at them and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I have 41 kills and the guy just said we lost the lead. Like, all right, I'm out of here. See you later.
Nice. What's your internet connection like? Because you're a rusher. Do you have a strong connection,
Socrates? I've never actually tested it, so I mean,
here's what we're gonna do.
I could test it right now.
Yeah, go to speedtest.net.
Yeah, we want to know your bandwidth and your latency.
All right.
Or ping, I think it's called ping.
I'm going to laugh if he's like, oh, it's 100 megabytes download?
See, the thing is, I used to pull host a lot, but I don't pull host anymore.
I hardly ever pull host. You know, in theory, I should get host 1 out of 12 games or so. I play a lot of team tech, too, so I should have host even more often. I pull host a couple times a month. It just never picks me. And I have a commercial internet line. I have, like, guaranteed quality of service, 2 megabits up and 15 down. I should be pulling host a lot, and I never get it.
Once somebody has host, it doesn't take it away from them. Once there's a host of a lobby, like there's no more choosing who's host unless their connection just drops way, way down.
Right, or he leaves the lobby, right? You know, between games.
Yeah, unless he leaves. Because I had host on PlayStation 3 the other day, and I was like, all right, I'm not leaving until I get 3 gameplays. And I played for about an hour and a half till I got my 3 good gameplays, and then I left, and I was the host the whole time.
Oh, damn. I'm sitting doing painkiller already. I got a 45 ping right now. I should be playing Call of Duty.
You guys are ruining the audio quality by running these speed tests while you talk. But
I'm not.
Yeah, Kyle, you're fine.
I'm not so sure how well this is, but it says my ping is 20. Download of 9.29 and an upload of 0.45.
That's not special. It's not bad. My ping is like 80, so that hurts me.
This is the best my internet's did all month. It's 7.29 down, 0.21 up, 49 ping, and I'd be excited to play on that. Generally, yeah, my ping's around 60 to 70 mark.
Yep, mine is kind of weird. It's been like progressively like getting better. Like every day somebody comes in and tinkers with it a little bit or something. It's right now it's at about 3.5 down at a point, and it's like 0.7 up, and I think my ping is like 20, 25, something like that.
I wonder what I could do with a 25 ping, dude. That's like magic. And I know you can't see that ping, guys, but you can feel 25 ping versus 60.
Or 80. Yeah. It's,
I'm trying to remember what
difference.
Hutch.
Oh, a lot of people don't know what ping is.
Was.
So ping is the amount of time it takes for the data to travel from your machine to the one you're talking to. So some networks are inherently faster. Like it can be in the error correction on the network that you're on, right? Some of them will like slowly inspect every packet and get it right. And some of them are error-free enough that you get a really high ping rate. High isn't good. I don't know. It's kind of tricky because what you want is a low ping. And the difference it makes in the game is huge. Part of it is how quickly your bullets register. So in a quick kill game like Modern Warfare, where people die in about a quarter second, if your host and you know your bullets count in zero, and I'm on your network and I'm delayed by 100 milliseconds, it was only 250 altogether. So you're halfway there before we even start shooting, and it really helps. But there's other differences too. Like the auto aim tends to suck on a little better when you're host, whereas you know the data I'm getting about where these other characters are is delayed and bad, and my auto aim doesn't work as well when I have a bad ping. So the network connectivity is huge in Modern Warfare. A little less than there.
We all can't be a Sandy Ravage with a 7-millisecond ping.
Yeah, it's 8, actually. He has an 8-millisecond ping, and mine's 10 times slower. But he's also a beast of a player. I'm not saying that if I was on
he's
network,
a fantastic player, but I'm wondering what I could do with his connection.
Yeah, right. You know, like, I'm not saying I'd pull Sandy games all the time, but I'd pull good games more often. You know, if I had a better connection, everybody would. So, Wings, you've talked a couple times about lap band surgery, and one of my subs asked me to bring it up in the podcast. And the question he had in particular was, what influence YouTube had in you wanting lap band surgery, right? So, I'll talk about it. Sometimes on these videos, like as a YouTube commentator or anybody who's, you know, this minor league celebrity, they get just filled with hate. You know, I get it too, and I try to be fairly nice to people on my channel. And you might think to yourself, dude, I would be completely immune to all that. But if you're thinking that, you probably haven't tried it yet. It can kind of get to you if 300 people all agree on something. And usually if 300 people all agree to it, there's a hint of truth in there too. You know, maybe your aim did suck that game. Maybe you did say something silly or mispronounce it or whatever. So I want to know, did YouTube and all the fussing people do toward you on your channel motivate you toward the lap band surgery idea, or talk about it?
Did they motivate me to it? No. Did they give me a means to maybe afford it? Yes. But the fact is, the surgery is extremely expensive, and I don't have insurance right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically got to start with doctor visits, which I haven't done yet. And those come at $200 a pop. And then you got to go on, you got dietary plans, which is probably a couple $100 a pop themselves. Then you got probably about 6 or 7 visits. You got to make sure the diet works. And if you can't keep on the diet, which I doubt I'll be able to, that's the main reason I'm opting for lap band to begin with. But they have procedures they have to go through before they can, you know, opt for the surgery. You know, basically somebody lines somebody's pocket with diet pills. You sell these, we can hook you up. But, so there's a couple $1,000 just in getting the requirements for the surgery.
Just the preliminary stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the surgery itself is $17,000 without complications. So you can get complications, like you can bust a stitch and have to go back in, and that's going to be another $5,000. And then you got, you know, after that you got preliminary visit. Oh, I can't say the word right now.
Preliminary.
Preliminary, yeah. I'm not dumb.
No.
My tongue slips, and that's another couple $1,000. So all in all, it's going to cost about $20,000 to $25,000, which I'm trying to earn through video promotes and things like that. Reason it is, I've tried diets hardcore. I've tried diet pills. I've even tried taking speed. I used to work a physical job and I couldn't lose weight. My metabolism is so slow. I'm short, and I have such little self-confidence.
Did you say you were short? No, you're not short.
No.
I misunderstood.
Short self-confidence.
Oh, S-U-R-E, got it.
Yeah, mainly because I never could get it to work. I've tried diets, and I always fall off of them. You know, it's, it's like that Coca-Cola is too good to get rid of, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
I love me some Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola is one thing I couldn't live life without. I'd probably put a gun in my mouth if they banned Coca-Cola. But I just can't do diets. I mean, I don't have the willpower to it. Because I enjoy eating. I seriously do. I don't eat because I'm hungry. I eat because I enjoy it. And I don't have the most, you know, extreme physical activity. I mean, the worst thing you ever catch me doing is like mowing a lawn. And, I mean, yeah, that's some pretty strong activity for like a push mower. But that's like once a month.
Nice yard. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't go with that Outback Steakhouse and Coca-Cola. Those are my two favorite things. I don't know how many times I'm going to mention Outback Steakhouse on this podcast, but
I know,
maybe we should get some sponsorship deals. But yeah,
get Outback involved with this. I will sell some Buckaroo Banzai wings and some 20-ounce Melbourne steaks. I can do it. That stuff is delicious.
Yeah, but as it says right now, I'll die at a young age if I don't get something done about it. And I'm using YouTube as a medium to make the money needed for the surgery, mainly because it's at life or death at this point.
YouTube and selling your cock, your prize-winning bird.
God. the chickens I've been using to flip off of.
But they're not chickens, though, right?
They're gamecocks.
I knew it. I knew it.
They're South Carolina gamecocks.
they're gamecocks is what they are.
You're Socrates, you a... A soda guy? Like, I'll go before I ask Socrates and take a spot. But I drink maybe 10 sodas a year, and that's it. They're just not in my diet. I'm mostly a water person.
Wow.
Socrates?
Yeah. I'm a huge soda guy. Soda, juice.
I drink like 10 sodas a day.
Yeah. I don't... I try to cut back, but it's hard.
Yeah,
it is almost an addiction.
So when you get married, your wife kind of determines what the house eats, and we drink water. There you go. Every now and then she'll find a juice on sale, and you know we'll have it for like a week or two. But it's mostly
like cranberry
water.
Juice.
You see, if that was me, Woody, I'd have my own personal refrigerator, and I'd have like four or five cases of 12-ounce cans stacked up in it.
Yeah, I hear you, but you know, I have a certain responsibility to look the way she wants me to look. Like, you know, she keeps in shape, and you know, I can't midnight snack.
See, I've never been in shape, so I've always been a little fatty.
Yeah,
I usually drink a lot of sodas, but like here recently, like I've been working outside a good bit, and it's been like 90 degrees and like 80% humidity here.
And your body craves water.
People in the South don't understand the humidity here. Like, I remember a guy from Arizona was like, 90 degrees, that's no big deal. We still wear jeans. I was like, no, dude, 90 degrees with 85% humidity. It's like a sauna.
It's a different
thing. Like, you feel the heat. You taste the heat. You can see it.
You ever get in a fucking truck after it's been, like, sitting out in the open for all day?
Yeah, it's like an oven. So, like, recently I've been drinking the Dasani water. And, like, I looked in the floorboard of my car today, and there were 8 bottles of Dasani water from the last 3 days. So I've been drinking a lot of water. And, but, yeah, dude, I love soda. Like when I go to, like, the gas station, I look at the sodas like some kind of, like, wine connoisseur. Like, a 1997 Pinot Grigio. But I'm looking at, like, yeah, Barks Root Beer, A&W. I don't know. You know? Like,
you want to take and swish it around your mouth a little bit before you buy it.
That would be hilarious. Went back there and I like got like a Dr. Pepper, swished it around and spit it on the floor. Like, no, that's not me. Put the cap back on, put it back in. But like Coca-Cola, root beer, Mountain Dew. Like my favorite soda for a long time was when they had the throwback Pepsis that actually had the real sugar in them, not corn syrup. I was drinking like 5 of those a day. Those things are good.
Nice. So
I like to stay healthy.
People are asking, I get it a lot, how did you come up with your gamer tag? And I'm thinking, really? Like, it's Woody's gamer tag. Like, I'm Woody, and that's my gamer tag. any other questions? why would you ask me how I came up with my gamer tag? But there's a little more to it. It used to be my name. It used to be my first and last name separated by a period. And I had this notion that, if you used your real name in Xbox, then you were kind of noble. You weren't hiding behind some online persona. You were an upfront sort of straight shooter, and you were like the kind of guy you wanted to be. And then I read this article on Cracked.com that was like, what did your gamer tag say about you? And it was like, you know, if you use your real name, it means you're in your late 30s and that you think that somehow makes you more honest. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm getting rid of this. So, they nailed me. So, so I changed it to Woody's Gamer Tag, and it kind of fits in the community better than, like, you know, your name, first and last name. So how'd you guys come up with your gamer tag? Wings?
Mine?
Everybody's been asking about mine.
Yeah.
What?
You want to go first, Kyle?
Yeah, mine used to be something really silly. And
share it.
Always get. No, absolutely not. Not
what? What were you?
No, it's gay.
It's
really
FPS
gay.
Legit.
No. It was something silly that I made up. But anyway, it used to be something silly, and then I got made fun of it, so I was fun of it for it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to make it something real simple. So I made it Kyle 5986, which is like my birthday, 5986, May 9th, 1986. And so that was like really stupid anyway, like just to have like
that sounds like a scrub name.
Indeed.
Yeah, I got the numbers on there and everything. So like, and I had been watching Pure Onage on pureonage.com you know, with FPS Doug and all those guys, and I was like, huh, I can make it FPS. I think I was gonna make it FPS Doug actually, and that was taken. And I was like, all right, I'll just be FPS Kyle. And I went with that.
And then it was born. All right, two more wings.
All right. Mine's kind of a little more deep-rooted than that. My original name on PS3 was Astralic Demigod, which Astralic means not of this earth. Demigod, half man, half god. And about 2 years into it, I changed my username to Unlimited UAV, but that's not what people want to know. They want to know Wings of Redemption. That's what they want. They want to know why I picked that.
And Unlimited UAV was just because you got a 3 kill streak on most lives. You know, you just felt like, yeah, it was a service you provided to your team.
I thought it would be a nice name, you know, Unlimited UAV, a nice cocky name.
Uh-huh.
But people want to know Wings of Redemption. Well, there's a curse called King Tutankhamun's Curse, which was in 1923. And on his tomb read, "Death comes on swift wings who enters the tomb of the Pharaoh." And basically, that right there is like a saying for the wings part of my name. You know, death comes on swift wings. That's what the mindset that I had, you know, Wings of Redemption. Like, when you have death, you have the vigilante, you have redemption. All this kind of thing, it kind of meshed together. And it sounded cool and noble, Wings of Redemption. The reason my name and my username don't match up is because I created my YouTube account 3 years before I started putting videos on it.
Can I interrupt you? Somebody is squeaking in the background like you've got your Fleshlight rocking. Can you stop that and let Wings go?
But that's pretty much my name, because I actually had a YouTube account before I started doing YouTube. I've been on YouTube for like 3 or 4 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was something. So before Socrates goes, I got a lot of heat. They're like, you've got all these subscribers and you just joined YouTube in December of last year. And it's like, yeah, I started this account, you know, on December of last year, because I thought it would be helpful for people if all my names sort of linked up, you know, if I was Woody's Gamer Tag all over the place. And but I've been around as a subscriber since the get-go. You know, I think I subbed to Hutch when he had, I don't know, less than 1,000 subs, something low like that. But my account is newer. But Socrates, how'd you pick your name? Or you're ex-Socrates, right? Is that because you're elite somehow? Or because because you want guys like me not to find you on their friends list because it's alphabetically retarded?
Well, I've tried to send friend requests to just plain Socrates to see if anybody's had it. Because you know how the systems are linked between, like, the Zune marketplace and all that random stuff. So, I mean, there's probably someone out there on Zune that has the username Socrates. So,
because that guy's on Socrates.
I was sitting in a lobby one day with one of my friends, and I wanted to change and everybody kind of goes for something really original that they've never seen before. And I was sitting there, and he actually suggested, how about Socrates? Because, I mean, and I was just like, you know what? That's right. I've never seen anything like that before. So
that's cool.
There's
a guy on my friends list, and his Xbox gamer tag is a sweet child. And, like, if you kill him, it says, you just killed a sweet child. Or you just got killed by a sweet child. And then I thought that was pretty cool.
You think I could spam him with a friend request? That's how he's getting to me.
Hey, I heard some news about Xbox. And I don't know if you guys might like it, too. So right now, it's, what, $50 a year for your Xbox Live membership?
Yeah.
They're coming up with the plan, and it's tied into the Kinect thing because, you know, they're going towards the casual market and the family and such. For $100 a year, you get 4 accounts. And I'm kind of psyched about that. You know, we have 2 right now, and that's $100 a year anyway. So we'll get 2 more for the same price. I thought I'd share that. Microsoft family plan.
Can you still get the $50 single?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the next 3 are for the price of 1.
All right. I just wanted to put this out there because most people on our podcast are not, you know, educationally inclined. Socrates was a Western philosopher, and he was basically a teacher of Plato and Xenophon. Let y'all know what Socrates actually is. He wasn't a great warrior. He was a teacher.
Oh, right.
Yep. It's about my extent of my knowledge of Socrates.
So there was a thread on the HubbardGaming.com forum lately about this guy who said that if he was a YouTube commentator, he would be the best there was, and that everyone on YouTube sucks at it, and that he would be awesome. And here was his big strategy. He said that he would talk about all the other YouTube commentators and point out what they did wrong in their game and how they're not good.
How about we point out this bitch-ass motherfucker? Biorat. What did you say? B-Y-R-O-T?
I didn't notice his name. You love
some explosives, bitch.
Yeah, but I'm thinking to myself, like, yeah, this sounds like a great plan towards, you know, working your way up the YouTube popularity ranks. The first thing you should do is talk about, like, a Hutch or a C-Nanners and about how, you know, they're not good at commentating or playing the game. See how that goes for you. Someone's going to kill your dog. Like, that's not going to work out like you think it will. If your whole plan is to, you know, tear down other YouTubers and it'll blow out their candle to make yours burn brighter, it's not going to work. I can't think of anyone who's really gone big time by creating enemies on YouTube. The way to do it is to get to know the community and get some, you know, get a boost from that. And, you know, like, I feel like I've gotten a boost from people who, when I first met them, were small. Like, you know, Gold Glove's a good example. When I did my first dual commentary with Gold Glove, I think he had, I don't know, 1,000 subscribers or something like that. He had some coming in because he was a Gears of War player. But now Gold Glove has like 30,000 subs or more. I'm not sure where he is. But you know, just like having him in my circle, it helps both of us. And you know, that's the way that it works. The Optic guys, you know, the Optic guys put out some good videos. But I think that all of them do better as a group than they would if they were a bunch of individuals. They have kind of a marketing scheme that says, you know, look, if you're part of this Optic thing, you sub every one of the Optic guys, and they get more attention than they would if they were flying solo. That's how you grow a channel.
I really hate it when the people all always think that they, you know, they know what... Like I said, like, yeah, oh man, you guys are doing it all wrong. I don't know what you're doing here. If it were me, I'd be posting about 50 videos a week, and they'd all be better than any video you've ever posted.
If I could capture, then, you know, I would be huge. And it's like, right. And if I had a basketball, I'd be Michael Jordan. And, you know, if I had a guitar, I'd be, you know, a star. That's not the deal.
If you could capture, I'd be $50 richer because you realize nobody'd watch your videos.
And then there's the other thing, right? You get the guy who has an occasional, like, 40-game kill. And all their friends are like, if you were on YouTube, you'd be huge. Look, you know, half of succeeding in YouTube is about entertaining people. And, you know, if you just say getting a 40-kill game isn't the whole thing, right? Yeah, the gameplay is probably less than half of it. The commentary is a big part of it. Yeah.
All right. Getting a 40-kill game is great, but it's not as great as knowing how you got the 40-kill game.
And being able to explain it.
Yeah, like it... A consistent formula of getting 40 kill games and explaining it is a big deal. Anybody can, like, pump gas. I mean, this is a horrible metaphor here. Let's not use gas.
Yeah, Wings, tell us more about how great you are at commentary and orotating.
I was trying to think of something that anybody can do, but somebody, it takes somebody special to explain how to do it.
Throw a ball?
Good example, throwing a ball. Anybody can throw a ball, but a great person can tell you how to pitch the ball.
Yeah.
Or it's like being an author. Everybody experiences the same things, but only a few people can actually put that down on the paper, you know?
Wow.
Completely describe that.
That was brilliant. See?
That wasn't that Socrates?
Socrates, man.
Yeah. let me go and go the explicit route here.
Oh,
anybody, no.
No, here it comes.
Only certain people could be porn stars.
Just close the Fleshlight browser. Just close it.
Yeah. Hit the X on that tab.
I'm actually on Huppet Gaming right now trying to look for this asshole.
Somebody made a thread about me. I saw that was the number one thread.
Really? People make thread about Wings all the time.
I know.
They love to talk about Wings of Redemption.
But mine was a good thread. It was like telling me how funny I was.
Nice. So how do you guys feel about ratings on your videos? Do you guys pay attention to what the videos are rated?
Yeah, that's huge. That's the number one. Like for those of you who don't understand, like if every one of my videos got 10,000 ratings, I'd have 30 more thousand subscribers. Like the ratings are huge, and I feel like you're stealing my videos when you don't rate them. It's gay not to rate the video. You're there watching it. Just go and click the thumbs up button.
Wow.
That's a huge deal. Like at least let me know what you thought of it. Like that's all I'm asking. Let me know what you thought.
I was all about to break into a rant about how I don't care about ratings at all, but
me either.
Like now I do more than before. Like, you know, it would be neat if everybody rated the video and you hooked us up with a thumbs up. But you know, by and large, I sometimes look at the ratio. The ratio of likes to dislikes on my videos is typically insanely good. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. And some people are like, I can't believe this guy got 21 downvotes. That's terrible. 21 people missed the upvote button. And it's like, brother, I think you're more stressed about it than I am. It's all good.
Hey, what is this karma thing on the site?
It's just anyone can give or take karma. And over time, it's supposed to be kind of a reputation. You know, if you write good posts, if anyone makes me laugh, I'll give them a thumbs up. Or if they start off a topic that that I thought, you know, led to some good or insightful conversation, then they get a thumbs up too. I just dish out karma.
All right, here's what I want happen. Here's what I want for my subscribers. I want you to register at HuppetGaming.com. In the main gaming thread, there's a thing called another Wings of Redemption thread. The main hater, his name is Bo Royt. B-R-O-Y-T. Thumb that nigga down.
Like, I
want his karma to say, like, negative 10,000.
There was some guy, I forget what the topic was, but he started a topic, and it was like a total haterade topic of one or another. Then he started another thread saying, I think hackers have invaded your site and given me a negative karma. I think you're a jackass. That's my first guess.
No, you're just an asshole.
and okay, all the replies were like...
You've closed this little set site here. Can they still thumb this guy down?
Yeah. They can thumb him down. Oh, what is it? Did I lock a thread on him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I haven't locked very many threads, but you know, if they go hater, I lock it, and then all the other threads pop up above it, and eventually it just gets buried.
So you can still thumb him down if they go in his thread, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can thumb somebody down. So
that's gonna be really funny when he's got like the karma. It should work like this: like when you have like certain amounts of karma, like you should have like an avatar picture unlocked. Like so, like you know, plus 100 karma, you get like you know a Call of Duty character, whatever you want to do. But like at a certain negative amount, you should be forced to wear like a I don't know, like an
a donkey
as your avatar or something like that.
Yeah, we'll swap out their avatar with like a donkey or tutu.
Yeah, it should be like a horse's ass. Like
a horse's ass. Oh, yeah, I really like this idea. He'll be a horse's ass until they can recover.
Hey, speaking about this, did you catch my idea I wrote to you the other day?
I did catch it, the whole gold thing. So we should talk about it some more, see if we can implement something like that, see how hard it would be.
Yeah, we talk about that off the podcast.
Hey, so in November, there are a ton of new games rolling out. There's Black Ops. There's let's not say November. Let's say that fourth quarter. Black Ops, Medal of Honor, Fallout, Halo Reach, and probably some others that I'm forgetting. Does it seem like a bigger fourth quarter than normal? Like last year, it seemed like Modern Warfare 2 sucked all the oxygen out of the room. This year, there's a bunch of big games. What do you guys think?
Black Ops.
What was that?
Black Ops is all I care about. Really? Fallout to a very, very, very small extent. Like I might rent it. Actually, there's no movie store near me now because they went out of business. Thank you, Netflix.
You're on Netflix every time I see you on Xbox.
Netflix is some good shit, man.
You're hating on them.
I don't pay for it though.
You don't pay for Netflix?
Somebody else pays for mine.
You signed up.
Kyle is frugal as he could possibly be. $6 he cannot spare for
these. He's got the Scrooge McDuck thing on lockdown. There's a reason he has that vault of gold coins that he swims in every morning.
Always with the vault of gold coins.
I bet you went and got junk steel to make those chicken cookers, didn't you?
Oh my God! Let's not even talk about that.
You couldn't get the good stuff. You had to make the chicken burner. Couldn't buy an oven.
So, it's an incinerator anyway. I'm not
huge game quarter. Is it bigger than normal to you guys? Socrates, I want to hear more from you. What do you think?
The only thing I'm really paying attention to is Dead Space 2.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I'm big on that one. That's January.
A lot of people were freaked out about that game, but it was a little freaky right in the beginning. But after I got into that game, it was easily probably one of the best Xbox games I've ever played.
I think it's the best one I've ever played. Best game, period.
I've never played it.
What's so good about it? I mean,
it's like my Portal moment, where last week all you freaking noobs had never even heard of Portal. Gosh. You guys got some hate on the podcast comments. They're like, I haven't played Portal.
Look
not
here, buddy. Did you play Myst?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay, I haven't played Myst.
And you told me about some Portal? Myst is 100 times harder than Portal from the way it seems.
Based on your Portal lack of experience? How can you say that? And it's not about
because
being hard.
Because Myst takes more than an hour to beat.
It's not about being hard. It's about being fun. Like Portal has a game dynamic that I hadn't seen before, and they take that sort of simple concept and turn it into a pretty full game. And then sometimes I see games get praised for voice acting, and I'm like, whatever. Right? That's like praising it for the documentation that came with it. It's a small thing to me.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
In Portal, the voice acting was amazing, and it really added to like this creepy computerized woman would talk to you and say like, you know. Remember that time I tried to kill you? I was just kidding. That was his own fun. And it's so creepy, and it's so good, and it's a great, great game.
I thought the voice acting in Halo was really good. Halo 3. I always liked... There's one part at the beginning where, like, I don't know, the computer that's in your head is talking to you, and she's like, do you know why I picked you? And there's like that whole monologue when she's talking about when she first picked him or whatever, and I thought that was really, really good. But Dead Space... is the reason I like Dead Space and I think it's such a great game is one, it's terrifying. If you put it on the hardest difficulty, turn the lights out, turn the volume up, it's a terrifying game to play.
For
it's
women.
Like it's like
well
playing
played.
A horror.
Come on, I did a half a let's play on this thing. I jumped once,
dude. I tried to beat it in one sitting and I got sick to my stomach about halfway through and had to stop.
Oh boy! That cliched shit they do, like a guy beating his head against the wall. Ooh, come on, dude! I've watched thousands of horror movies. It takes more than that to get on my skin.
They had like, okay, imagine a room that just completely goes pitch black, and all of a sudden you just turn on your flashlight, and there's this creature that you have to kill, and you shoot it. It falls to the ground. You think it's dead, right? So you start walking along, minding your own business. The guy gets back up as soon as you, like, walk past him. They play some suspenseful music. I mean, it was legitimately freaky.
Yeah, that's scary.
They're doing the Chucky thing there.
You guys have the courage of Smurfette. Like, I can't ever recall
being
scared of a video game.
There's parts of that game where you're walking along, And there's dead, the hallways will be littered with these dead bodies, and like you've walked past like 10, 20 dead bodies, no problem. All of a sudden, one dead body hops up and goes ape shit on you.
Now, it's scary. It isn't. That isn't scary at all.
Oh my God.
I'm dead serious. That isn't.
All right. What about when the little girl, when you're in
let
the
me,
elevator?
Let me tell you what the equivalent of you being afraid is. I'm hitting one P on the piano. Ding, 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 ding. Then all of a sudden, I hit all the keys.
Well, no. It's a different story when you're sitting there and you get like involved.
You're talking to me like I didn't play the game. The game wasn't scary.
I don't think you got emotionally involved with the game. I don't think you cared about the character. I don't think you were listening to the little girl singing "Twinkle Twinkle Little Star" while you were heading downstairs in the elevator with five bullets in your gun, blood all over the walls, and you knew that there's fucking aliens everywhere in the room down below.
And then you crush their head with your foot.
I'm gonna get this game.
Okay.
Check this out.
You can buy it off Games on Demand. It's like $20.
It's an excellent game. I've beaten it on I haven't beaten it on Impossible yet. I need to go back and do that.
You've beaten it. Are we back on the Fleshlights again?
Oh, no.
I just didn't get scared about Dead Space. I got scared when I was little with games like that. But I grew that because I kind of understood the genre a little bit better. It's like going to a Friday the 13th movie. Those things don't scare me. I go to a Friday the 13th movie to see Jason kill people in odd ways. I mean, you just get immune to that kind of, you know, that... You know
it's
coming. It's
more than that, dude. Like, there's these, like, eight-legged aliens that are, like, attacking
and
vomiting.
Does eight-legged aliens make you scared to go to the bathroom, Kyle?
Dude, it wasn't like I was terrified to walk around my house, but I was playing the game. I'm like, I guess maybe I'm able to get into the game more easily than you are.
How did we get to Kyle going potty in this podcast?
I don't know.
Because when I was little and movies scared me, when I was growing up, the bathroom's like a long, dark hallway. And I would think like Jaws or something would jump out one of the bedrooms and like bite at me or something like that.
You mean like the commentator?
No, I'm talking about the shark.
Oh, okay. I was like, why are you afraid of Jaws?
But that's the reason the potty thing went in there. Like, scared, is that gonna make you scared to go to the bathroom? Because scary movies in general are supposed to leave a lasting effect on you like that. Like when you actually see it, like the last movie that kind of freaked me out was The Ring. When I got done finished watching The Ring, I had to go into my bedroom. And it was like dark as shit, and I was all by myself, and it's like it kind of freaked me out going into that dark room, because I just seen this movie and it made a lasting impression on me. That's what I want in a game, you know. Seeing some, you know, mutated miner with like 8,000 legs doesn't scare me because I know that can't exist.
You ever been to West Virginia?
Come on, dude. We're all from the South here. You're making fun of us.
Hey, West Virginia is different.
Hey, is it time for Cool Story, bro?
It is.
All right. So,
we're going to do the one I voted for, right?
We're going to do the one that got the most votes. Which one did you vote for?
The Grateful Dead.
Nope. Yeah, the runaway winner was Woody Saves 130 Lives. And I've almost been hoping that one doesn't get chosen for a while because I feel like the title's better than the story. But here's how it goes. When I was like 17, broke my arm, and I got a job on the beach. I grew up in Ocean City, New Jersey, and the job on the beach was renting out umbrellas, like umbrellas and beach chairs and stuff like that. It was a badass job. I got a good amount of money in tips. Not Scrooge McDuck money, but good money. And I felt like it was my beach, but I always sort of knew it was actually the lifeguard's beach. You know, the guys on the stand, they were the coolest guy on that beach. And that's when I set my mind to getting that job for the next year. Now, in Ocean City, to get the lifeguard job, and it's fairly hard to get, it's an athletic competition. There is no matter of, interview. The local guys don't get any advice. They don't talk to you. No. They measure you. They put a stopwatch on you, and you get the win. So I had been a surfer forever, and I was fairly competent in the ocean, but I wasn't a swimmer. So that year I went out for the swim team. Not I wasn't a competitive swimmer, right? I could swim. So I went out for the swim team, and when I first joined, they put me in what they called the squid lane, which is where all the like people that suck, you know, end up. And it took me about 3 weeks before they put me in what this team called the stud lane. And at about 6 weeks in, we had these like, you know, races in the team to see, you know, who would get which spots on the relay. And I was our fastest swimmer on the swim team. So I did that through the winter, and then come spring, I kept training, like even after the swim team ended. And I did well. I got fifth in the state my year. This is just my first year swimming. And I stayed in shape, went to the lifeguard tryouts, and it was intimidating. Like, I went there with my mom, and everyone else had, like, their college swim gear and their bags and their, like, LaSalle and Villanova. You know those tight little rubber caps that people wear on the swim team when they don't shave their heads? You know, they had those things, and you could tell like which colleges they represented. And then there were just a couple people littered from high schools. And that year, there were 70 some tryouts, and there were 7 jobs. So you know, it wasn't like a sure thing or anything. And my mother went back to the house, and I found out later she told like my father and my brother, like, you know, oh, it's sad. It's not going to happen. He doesn't really have a chance at making the squad because you know, just if you would have like put me in a lineup, you wouldn't have predicted that I would do well in this competition. But, you know, I took this thing seriously, and I was a fighter. And out of the 77 people, I got first. I got the number one spot on the squad, and I was the first guy hired. So that was cool. Now I'm a lifeguard. And you guys, you know, if you're not from the beach, you might be thinking, like, you know, a pool lifeguard where you sit there and do nothing all the time. But an ocean lifeguard actually gets to pull people out of the water. And I loved that part of a job. I never used the boat. There's two ways you can do it. You can either row out there and save them, which is nice if you have a lot of people, or you can swim out there. And my favorite tool for saving people was just me and what they call a can, which is this flotation device you strap around your shoulder. And I'd swim out there. I'd hand them the can. I'd give them some quick instructions, like, you know, kick with your feet like a kickboard. And when we get into the surf, don't let go, because when that thing hits me, it's bad. So I'm like, you know, just because you can stand, don't let go of this thing, hand it to me, and then, you know, we'll be done. And I did this for about 4 years, and I had 30 some saves every year. So that was nice. 130 lives. Yeah, it was really cool. I had some, like, my favorites. Most of the saves were fairly routine, right? And some of them, they might not even die. Like, for example, there's a strong offshore wind, and there's a kid on a boogie board who can't get in. Now, all of a sudden, the kid's like, you know, 300 yards off the shore and just blowing further out. Well, eventually, you know, a Coast Guard or something might have, you know, saved him. But instead, I swam out there, and he wasn't drowning. He was just unable to get to the beach.
Well, he's going to run out of food eventually. I mean, I don't know how much pack, but...
Yeah, but it
300
wasn't,
yards out, dude, that's a long way.
Dude, yeah, but I'm like, even now, I'm a swimmer, man. Like, there's a certain technique to it that... you just, when you're a competitive swimmer, you know how to pull water, and that thing stays with you. But
don't you have like little buoys and shit that you go, if you go by, they have to pull you back?
We had flags that marked where they could be left and right, but then how far out they were allowed to go was a judgment call. And that was a judgment call that, like, the adult me might handle differently. I used to be like, yeah, you're fine. Go out there. Because I love the rescues. But it was like, you know, I'd get more customers if I let them take more risks. And, yeah. And from their standpoint,
they
scared,
like sharks or anything like that?
Woody's, like, going in there with a bunch of kids. He's giving them all a six-pack of beer. And he's like, all right, we're having a contest.
So you get drunk the farthest. Most and get the furthest out.
So the first and last hour of your shift, you were allowed to work out. And, you know, I used to swim till I couldn't see land anymore. That was like a rush for me where, like, you know, I just kind of remember where I came from. And sometimes I'd find I'm swimming back at a pretty crooked angle because I couldn't see land. And I was like, damn, you know, the swim back's a whole lot longer than the swim out because I didn't head back straight to shore. I got a little turned around. But, yeah, no, I wasn't really scared of sharks. And some of the coolest rescues, I have one that my wife, well, she was my girlfriend at the time, but the girl I married, she took pictures of the whole thing. So we were on the beach, and it was kind of bad. So it was at the very end of the day. And at the end of the day, you have to take this rowboat and pull it up towards the top of the beach and take the lifeguard stand, which is this heavy thing, pull it up to the top of the beach so that the tide doesn't suck it out when you're not there. And when you do that, honestly, you're not paying attention to your crowd as well as you could if you weren't, you know, busy taking the equipment up the top. So as we're sort of like, we blow the whistle and say goodbye to everybody so that they know they're not being guarded anymore. And as we did that, we saw this guy drowning. And I'm like, holy shit. So I had to run up to the top of the beach and like grab my rescue device. I come out there. And all that's there is like this, you know, white foam and stuff where he had been splashing around. He's underwater. And I swam right out to him, dove down to the bottom, pulled him up, and just kind of, you know, like put this flotation device, you know, on him. And, you know, he was coughing and hacking, and I swam him in, and that was it. I rescued him. So we had even identified this guy before he went swimming as a customer. Like he had a T-shirt on, which is usually not the mark of a strong swimmer. And he had his glasses on. And he wasn't American. He was Asian, and he had like a strong accent. And something about him just screamed customer, you know, all over him, or victim, whatever you want to call him. So, you know, when I saw it was that guy, and I pulled him in, and my wife took like action shots of me tearing down the beach. And so if a guy's not straight out, you don't swim to him diagonally. You run down the beach where you can go really fast and then swim out straight. And she has pictures of me, like, you know, running down the beach, making my turn, and pulling off the rescue. So most of the time you rescue somebody, like, if it's a teenager, they play it off like they didn't need help at all. It's like, whatever, dude. You know, you were done for. You couldn't get in. You couldn't swim anymore. You were exhausted. And now that you're back on the beach, you're, oh, I was fine. But this guy wasn't like that. This guy thanked me. And then he came back the next day. I worked the same beach. And he brought his wife and two kids. And they all thanked me for saving their dad. And it was like, wow. You know, that's...
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, that, like, I, you know, it makes a difference, man. Like, I, whatever, right? His family would be different had we not spotted him. So, I've over the course of 4 years, I had about 130 rescues. I had some of the other cool ones. Like, I had a guy, a surfer. And in Ocean City, there are these wooden piers at 14th Street, if anyone, you know, local there. And it was at the end of the day, and we were sort of going by, and we let the surfers go out. And then this guy immediately got his leash tangled up in the pier. So he was, like, hooked, and the waves were battering him against the pier. So I swam out there, and I took the leash off his foot, and I got my back all scratched up from the barnacles that grew on the pilings. Because, like, I was holding the guy, and I put myself between him and the pilings so that he wouldn't get hurt. And I don't know, they were just like battle scars I was kind of proud of. Like, I had, whatever, like 80 small cuts on my back in uniform because of the wave hitting me against the piling, and brought him home safe. So there are a whole bunch of them, multi-victim rescues, cool stuff. So that's I love great. That job.
Now, here's what I'm most concerned about. You said your rush was swimming out until you couldn't see land no more. Mm-hmm. You were scared the current was going to switch you up and like you start swimming back to where you thought was land. Just swimming out into the ocean?
Dude, like, you know, I try to be humble,
Woody's
but...
a beast, all right? I can freaking swim. Things like currents.
No, man. Like, so people would assign this, like, hero label to that. You know, like, oh, you save lives. That's what a hero does. And it's like, not really. Not for me. Or was, anyway, kind of a swimming superhero. I would surf every hurricane.
Aquaman.
I never was in any danger that I could see. Like, you know, like...
You're not walking through a house that's burning, trying to pick up somebody that's dead weight.
Yeah, imagine you're walking through a house that's burning, but you're not flammable. Like, that was my situation. You know, like, you're such a hero. Well, not really. You know, everything was cool from the get-go. So,
Gamer Tech once knocked out a shark. Okay?
Yeah.
It's no big deal. He once threw a starfish at a shark and killed it.
I mean, like a ninja.
The ocean is his friend.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I swam.
No, what, where was the lack of fear of sharks, though?
They're just not as big a deal as you think. The truth is, sometimes I would think about sharks. So, mostly surfing, not swimming so much, but, when you're on a surfboard and your legs are hanging out, apparently you look something like a seal. So sometimes sharks will take a bite and then not really finish the deal when they figure out that you're not like a nice fatty seal. And if I surfed alone, for some reason, like, thoughts of sharks would enter my mind. But outside of that, not really. I used to swim with dolphins all the time. I probably swam with the dolphins like 7 times a week for 4 years.
You are Aquaman!
Yeah, so when you swim with the dolphins and you're just like in the water by like a normal swimmer, you don't get all that close. You know, probably as close as you get is like 15 feet or so. And that distance is regulated by the dolphins. You know, as much as I've talked about, you know, how good a swimmer I used to be, compared to a dolphin, I was pretty incompetent. So I would just swim out into their path, and then they would, you know, they porpoise up and do their thing where they do that little jump, and they'd be all around me, and that was kind of neat. Like, I would really enjoy that. But if I was out there on a surfboard or a boat, they'd swim right underneath me, and you'd get super close, and that was kind of cool, too. So
I understand sharks don't attack humans regularly, mm-hmm. but the fact is they're faster and they're stronger than you, and they're much better swimmers.
Yeah, but they're not that interested in me.
Here's the thing about sharks and like biting people and eating people. The sharks, like what he said, they like those like huge, like soft, fatty seals that are like a big, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like biting into a human is like biting into like a chicken bone for them. They're like, eh. There's mm-hmm. like barely any meat on that.
Yeah.
It's like the difference between a hot wing and like a and like an entire turkey.
Yeah, but you gotta look at it like this. Their whole existence is to eat things. That's all they do. They're designed to kill and eat things.
Yeah, with people they normally bite and then just move on because they don't like what they get.
What the fuck is that? That's terrible. They want fat.
Even
that bite,
bite
can make you die from blood loss.
Yeah, bite sucks, right? I don't want that. You know, like, all they did is remove my calf muscle and decide that they weren't interested anymore. Even that'll ruin your day. That's awful.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my saving lie story. There were a bunch of good ones, man.
I have something I'd like to talk about real quick, and that is Geometry Wars. And let me just say this. I just have set a new high score on King. I know you guys don't play King, but I just set 8,194,000. I'm now ranked 1,700th in the world on King.
I'm going to get on and beat that right now.
So suck it. I just beat Socrates, Wine, Russia, JD2020.
Hey, speaking of this, people said I suck at pacifism. I was like, seriously?
What?
There's like 2,500 people in the world better than me right now, and a lot of those are repeat scores.
I'm going to pull that Huppet Gamer jackass. If I played that game, I'd be better.
Dude, you don't know how hard it is, Woody.
I do. My high score is 6 million. You guys have like 500 million or something ridiculous like that. And my record is 6. So, yeah, I've got a clue how hard it is.
Yeah, come over to King, because that way, like, if you get 10 million in King, you're like ranked in the top 200 or something.
Here's the thing, right? I bought that game. And when you first buy that game, if no one's ever bought the game, it's Geometry Wars Evolved 2. So you can find that on Xbox Live.
Retro.
Retro? Okay. So Geometry Wars Evolved 2 Retro, maybe? And when you buy it, there's 8 game types, I think. And you have to play 1 to unlock 2. You have to play 2 to unlock 3, etc. As I did that, I beat FPS Kyle's record score, like, every time. Like, oh, look. You know, that was no problem. I go play game 2.
Because you're playing the game types I don't play.
and what happened is it gave me the and I beat a lot of other, like, so I have a lot of YouTube commentators on my friends list, and I could see, like, I don't want to name them all because I might get it wrong, but I was beating all these YouTube commentators, and I'm like, wow, I'm a natural at this game. But it turns out what Kyle pointed out is the key. FPS pacifism is the game type in which everybody competes, and man, it's hard. Now, there is something to say. The score kind of multiplies. So if one guy gets 300 million and another guy gets 150 million, he didn't actually do twice as well. He only did slightly better, but towards the end of the game, you're racking up really big points. So it's not as distant as it might seem, but yeah, there's still a huge difference between 500 and 6.
Yeah. There's a big difference between 8 million and 6 million, which is what Socrates has. Get on, Socrates.
All right.
There's not a big difference.
I just ended my game of pacifism to switch to King, all right? After that comment.
Well, Socrates, you got to step your game up. You got, what, 156 million in pacifism?
Wait. You're the one that's got to step up your game because you got 2.5 million in King. So I am like, what are you pulling your...
Kyle is campaigning to make the only game he's good at the one that counts.
Yeah, see, Kyle.
This ain't how it works. You got to conform to the game everybody else is playing. Everybody plays pacifism. That's where the champions roam.
I was playing pacifism before anybody. So,
you know, what's your score? 12 million? That's a champion score.
Pacifism's not like, the one, though. Like, the thing about pacifism is you don't shoot. Every other game, it's a twin stick shooter. That's the point of the game. And all you smurfettes choose the game in which you can't shoot. Like, how did you gravitate toward that?
Because everybody else played it. I downloaded the game to try pacifism. That's the only game on the whole thing that appeals to me.
Really? I like the first mode. Like the it's probably the main game mode for the bulk of the world, the one where it's a twin-stick shooter and you just run around and shoot geometry.
No, actually, pacifism is, if you look the game up on YouTube, it's all pacifism.
Outside of the famous YouTubers?
Yeah, outside of the famous YouTubers.
Hmm, okay. Yeah, because I would have guessed that the one where you shoot the blobs is the big deal.
Deadline is the big deal, in my opinion.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah, Hutch is pretty much dominating my shit. Hutch has got me on Deadline.
I'm looking at it right now. Hutch is has a score of 27 million in pacifism. Number two on my friends list. And keep in mind, I'm friends with pretty much every YouTube commentator, I think, except for like CNNers. Socrates is number two on my friends list at 5,500,000. So Hutch is five times higher than the closest one to him.
You talking about pacifism or Deadline?
No, Deadline.
Oh, I thought you said pacifism.
I'm going to catch Hutch on pacifism. It's going to happen.
Could.
Ain't no could. I will do it. The stars just have to align. You don't know how many, like, 400 million games I've lost today off of stupid moves.
That's how Modern Warfare goes, too, right? Like, I played last night, and you don't know how many times I died. Like, even several times in a game at my 4-kill streak. It's like, man, if I had just gotten one more, Predator rolls in, the Harrier rolls in, the, you know, Payload or Chopper Gunner rolls in. It happens twice in a game, and you get one. And all night long, 4 kill streaks die. Buzzkill.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. Like, you're kicking yourself when you do it, too. It's like, damn, I shouldn't have made that move. Because when you're at 400 million, 816 million is 40 seconds. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's less than a minute.
I agree. Your multiplier at that point is like 500 or 700 or something ridiculous.
No. It's like 4,000.
Okay. I don't get scores like that. All right. So your multiplier, it starts at 1. He's getting 4,000 for the same work at that level than he did before. So the points roll in huge once you get to a high enough point there. And
the packs you blow up are like tremendous. Like, you might blow up like 16 to 20 at the start. Mm-hmm. You might be blowing up 400 at the end per, you know, gate.
Right, because it's all packed in there. So it's fun to watch. I really like the Geometry War videos. I wish people did more into the commentary. Like, you know, old school Hutch, when he, like, put together those ideas and he could hardly keep a straight face, you know, when he talked about how he beat Dietrich.
This is a triumph.
Yeah, that was not bad, actually. That was pretty good. They were cool. If I ever get a pacifism score like that, it's going to be the best commentary I can put out.
I already had one. Like, I was like, I was hoping back when Sam was beating Hutch, I was hoping to pass Hutch and not Sam and be like, through the space depths, a king comes, a man of Sagan mythology, with unlimited unmanned aerial vehicle experience.
I like that. I like that. That's what I want to see. And you know, it's only 2 minutes. I'm putting together a montage of, like, you know, some clips I've had from good games and stuff. And I was trying to pick a song, and I'm like, do I want this? Do I want that? Do I want this? And eventually, I decided, you know what? On my channel, I'm singing the song. So I got the lyrics worked out.
Oh no!
Oh yeah! Oh, it's coming. I'm really proud of the lyrics too. It's gonna be fun. So
this may be a bad idea. We were talking last night about how you cannot hit a high note.
Oh no! I am so sing-tarded. But it won't.
You should maybe sing some Five for Fighting or maybe some Tool.
No, man. I've got the lyrics written. So here's the deal. I wrote the lyrics, and then I sang it, and it wasn't good enough. And I sang it, and it wasn't good enough. I eventually did, like, I don't want to exaggerate, I'll say 7 or 9 takes. And I took the best one, and I sent it off to GFX Labs. I'm like, hey, man, can you work with this? You know, can you auto-tune it or, you know, like, improve it somewhat? And he comes back, he's like, no, nothing I can do with that. Keep trying. So maybe this weekend, he told me to dance while I sing it. I'll give that a go. And eventually I'll get a half-decent take on this thing, and I'll upload my montage.
What song are you doing?
Would He Be Good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep.
Woody, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna be able to listen to you sing. I'll play a different song over your video.
I'll be able to listen to you sing.
Every time I listen to you sing, I get really uncomfortable and feel very awkward.
Dude, it's going to be fun. It's
it embarrasses
fun.
Me.
Kyle is taking the bath with swim trunks on.
Yeah, exactly. It embarrasses me when I listen to you sing.
I remember when I sent you Woody the Slayer, and you're like, oh my God, you don't sing, do you? I'm like, here it comes. Yeah, man.
Oh, it's bad.
It's good. It's good. So is that a podcast?
Yeah, that's a wrap. We're still looking for a veteran for maybe next week. We had a couple guys being, you know, smart asses.
Yeah, it was funny. But when I first joined the call, I accept the call, and there's Wings interviewing a Vietnam vet. And, you know, he's like, hey, so what company do you work for and whatever? What company, what battalion, what camp were you at?
I asked him what battalion, what base were you coming out of, and he told me he was a Marine beforehand. So right, he said South Carolina because in his original conversation he said he came out of South Carolina. There's only one Marine base in South Carolina. That's Parris Island, South Carolina. So if he would have said Jackson or Fort Bragg, he's lying to me.
He did pretty well with the questions until you asked him what base he was in. But the biggest giveaway for me was this Vietnam vet sounded about 17 years old.
Like, that triggered an alarm right away, but I was going to maybe he just sounds young like Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson sounds like he's 60.
Okay. Yeah, so we had a pretender, and I'm glad Socrates could jump on at the last minute and join us.
Yep, it's too bad he's not very good at King.
I'm not going to bet until I beat that score.
Sucker,
good luck, my friend.
Tell Kyle to get on some COD 4, see what's up.
Oh, yeah, Kyle, let's do a 1v1.
Oh, my God. Somebody actually requested that. That will not go well for me, just so you guys know.
Yeah, someone sent Kyle and I a message saying, like, you two should do a 1v1, best of three maps, you each choose a map. Have a tiebreaker map.
I'm like, we don't need three maps to figure this out.
I know.
Second map's going to be that. Second map's going to be fucking wet work.
Oh yeah, I would pick wet work for sure.
He's like, think of the views you'll get, and I'm like, yeah,
the same views all my other videos get.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that was Painkiller already.
Later.